And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 189, Spotlight on DC Comics New 52 Futures End. Oh, we gotta take a breath. Number 22 to, I have no idea. We're gonna try to get a bunch of them in, because we're gonna get caught up. Anyway, I'm Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
So, what we're going to try to do today, since Future's End is coming to a close soon, I even had a comment from my friend that I went up to Planet Comic Con about how, well, I didn't listen to so-and-so episode because you guys are only on 22, or 20-ish. So, well, it's like we're trying to keep spoilers, you know? So
when people cover, like, Crisis nowadays or something else, why listen? That's already over.
Yeah, I'm just saying what he said.
I know.
But he has listened to some episodes, and but anyway, it was fun.
Welcome to all those new people. I have no idea. I had no idea.
I know. It was like six all at once. I don't know where they came from. I didn't know any of them, and I don't think they were friends with any other people in there. We had
Murray,
like
your friends, Murray? Were they Canadians? Were they?
Because, I mean, we're without borders here. You know, if you're from Somalia, you can come
and
listen.
I'm without borders.
Yes. We had seven people all at once want to join the group. Well, the first one that started it was a spammer, and I had to kick them. But everybody else has been pretty legit so far.
Because we only have one other person from Arizona, and I think that maxes us out on Arizona. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Evan. Yeah. Thank you, Evan.
All right. So, new 52 Futures End. The last one we covered was number 21. So Murray has this idea that we're going to get all the way up to 30.
We totally are.
Okay. Well, let's jump in. Who wants to go first?
Murray does. He's going to teach me how to synopsize without too much commentary.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So, where did we leave off with Firestorm?
Firestorm, they had been separated, if I'm not mistaken. Well, let me look.
They had been separated. They'd been arguing. They were never gonna be Firestorm again because Ronnie kept Jason prisoner.
Well, let's see. 21. Wait, let's just recap real quick. 21 was mostly.
Wait a minute.
21 was mostly about Earth 2 coming and bringing Apocalypse with them. That's what was in
right.
We really haven't seen Ronnie. It was all about Team Arrow and all that. So that's that whole episode.
So Ronnie's kind of been missing. That storyline's kind of been dropped for a little while. But in this chunk of issues that we read, that storyline totally picks up speed. Like it becomes very prominent. So we've got Ronnie and Jason. And when last we met them, Jason had been kidnapped inside the Firestorm Matrix and didn't want to have anything to do with Ronnie, understandably so. And Jason was working with Dr. Yakka Crazy Guy. That's a good name for him, Yakka Cuckoo.
I like it.
He started off with good intentions. So this doctor, Dr. Y.
I think it's Yakima or something like that. Yakizuma.
Yeah, I don't have the issue in front of me.
Yeah, okay.
However, he had a grudge against all of the heroes because during the Apocalypse invasion and the Earth 2 war, his wife was one of the victims who he feels could have been saved if the Justice League had used their teleportation technology to save people and get people out of trouble's way. So he's angry at the heroes and also working on a teleportation device that will transport people from place to place to place. He's been working on that kind of in the background. Jason's been his lab assistant. And when we pick up in this batch of issues, we learn, well, first of all, Ronnie comes to Jason and decides that he's really sorry about being a dink, and he would like to be Firestorm again, and Jason does not want to have anything to do with it still, but fortunately or unfortunately, they happen to have this conversation underneath of a set of cameras, speakers, video phones, whatever. Because their conversation is picked up and Dr. Yakka Crazy hears it and realizes that Jason is part of the Firestorm combo there. And so now he no longer trusts Jason. And he totally goes off the deep end. He's decided his teleportation technology can no longer be trusted to Jason, so he bans Jason from the laboratory. Jason no longer has access to the technology, and Dr. Yakka Crazy has decided to start doing testing on live subjects to see if his teleportation trends.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Technology works. In the meantime, Jason has been having study groups with, is it Madison, the red-haired?
Yes, the slightly manic chick that Tim was going out with.
Hanging out with Tim Drake. They were
lucky. Yeah, that had a dad that was a war profiteer during the Earth War.
Yes. So she broke up with Tim Drake.
And she found out.
Yeah. And she's been hitting up Jason for this study group. So she's kind of pulled into Jason's little circle that way. She comes to the university to meet Jason. Jason is, of course, no longer allowed in the university lab. And Dr. Crazy realizes that she is the daughter of the war profiteer. Mm-hmm. So naturally, he figures she would be a great test subject for testing his teleportation technology.
Well, I would think the same thing, yes.
Because if it works, hey, great. And if it doesn't work, well, then the man that he kind of holds responsible for killing his wife will have his daughter killed. Kind of, sort of. So either way, it's a win-win for the crazy doctor.
Yeah, that's some effed up logic, but yeah.
But he's Yamakuku.
Yes, that's right. Yamakuku.
See, that's right. It totally works in his head. In the meantime, he's held Madison for a couple of days. She's been missing. Red Robin realizes she's missing, and he goes to Lois to try to find her. Lois has no idea where she is. He goes to Ronnie Raymond, and Ronnie Raymond hasn't seen her, but they decide to work together to try to find her. And they end up at the university, and I guess they kind of learn that Cadmus has been sponsoring Dr. Yakka Crazy's.
Okay. I missed that one.
Yeah. They've been sponsoring his research. So there's all these Cadmus goons who are preventing anyone from getting into the lab. Red Robin and Jason, or not Jason, Red Robin and Ronnie duke it out. They fight. Red Robin decides, Ronnie, you go ahead. You find Madison. I'll hold off these guys because I can handle it. So he does that. He's doing the beady up thing. And Jason...
Can I stop you here? What issue are you looking at?
He's summarizing several issues at once.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm all right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, because I figured it out eventually, but he's taking the Firestorm.
I'm just looking at the Firestorm story and
storyline and working it out.
You are a monster. I am impressed.
It can be done.
I'm trying to follow along by issue, and it's impossible.
You can't follow along by issue. It's all in my head. Okay. So, let's see.
But you just got through read notes today, you said.
Totally.
Right?
It's all fresh in my head.
Okay, great.
So, Ronnie breaks into the lab. Jason is in the lab arguing with the crazy doctor.
Yeah.
He gets bonked on the head.
And is
knocked out for a little bit. Crazy Doctor has pressed the button to start the teleportation technology, and Ronnie rushes over and opens up the teleport machine while it started. And
we're in like 26 right now.
Yeah, we're pretty close there. So the teleportation has started. Madison has kind of started glowing. Ronnie has started glowing. Jason wakes up and realizes the only way they're going to save this situation is if they turn into Firestorm, and he reaches to grab Ronnie so that they can touch and initiate the Firestorm. The Firestorm whoop-de-whoop that turns them into Firestorm.
Matrix.
Mm-hmm. The Matrix, yeah. But at this point, Ronnie has been burned and is sort of intangible, so Jason reaches through Ronnie and grabs Madison and initiates...
Hey, now! Sorry.
Totally. There's a big explosion, and we see that Firestorm flies away from the explosion, but it's Lady Firestorm because it's Madison's body. Jason's inside of her controlling it, and Ronnie is down in the lab, all burned up, almost dead. Red Robin rushes in, finds Ronnie, asks where Madison is. Ronnie doesn't know, and then he's gone. And we see Lady Firestorm flying around in the air with Jason kind of in her head telling her kind of what to do.
That is first issue that shows up is in 29, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and they don't really show up in issue 30. So there you go. There's the Firestorm story. Last 5, 6, or 7, or 8 issues. Boom.
It was like 9 or 10, yeah.
There you go. Now, what did I feel about it? I thought I would have liked to have seen all three of them. I would have liked to see Ronnie survive. I would have liked to have seen some way for all three of them to be merged.
Oh, that'd be kinky.
Kinky, but it's not traditional Firestorm, so I get why they killed off one of them. And
well, you also forget that Professor Stein isn't one of them at this point. They had changed that back in the go ahead.
But also, Ronnie was intangible, so it's who knows? Mm-hmm. Seriously, I mean, just because he is all there's a crispy critter there, it doesn't necessarily mean that his consciousness. We were talking comic books, so when I say his consciousness, that happens all the frickin' time.
Oh wait a minute! No, he wasn't. He was intangible for a second. They find Tim later on in 29. Tim finds Ronnie's body, and he's dead. He's a broken, bloody pulp.
I'm slightly skeptical, but that's
right. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he survives and lives to. That would kind of be a cool thing to see the Firestorm, even if it's only the two of them, whether it's Madison and Ronnie sometimes, or Ronnie and Jason, or whatever.
Okay. So
I think it would be cool, like if he does survive. Sometimes he's stuck as the consciousness.
That would be neat if they switched, wouldn't it?
I don't recall if in the incarnation he's ever been stuck as the floating head.
I don't know. I've got a bunch of old Firestorm issues I picked up in last year's Free Comic Book Day, so I'm planning on reading those sometime.
Well, in none of those is he ever the floating. He was never the floating head back in those days. He was always the. He was always the controlling guy.
Oh, but, you mean when Jason Rush was one of the Matrix?
Yeah, I mean I didn't read any of the Rush stuff. So.
No, I didn't even. Okay, well, all right then. So
that was pretty good, Maria.
Actually, yeah, I'm impressed there, totally dude. Done. Okay, so let's look at 22 and see. Okay, what storyline can we pick up from 22?
So let's do the Brainiac storyline, because that kind of cuts out after a couple of issues.
Okay, sure.
So in space, when last we saw them, we had...
That's issue 22, I think, is when Black Adam shows up to save... let me look here. Yes, they're in space. You got Hawkman, Frankenstein, Amethyst Showa are in space, and Engineer still a Brainiac minion, and go.
So that's
where you see the big, huge Transformer-size Brainiac is the first, on the Blood Moon.
Okay, so they've been kidnapped. Were they in the Phantom Zone at one point?
They're past that point.
So they get out of the Phantom Zone. Frankenstein loses yet another limb.
No, that was he's got Hawkman's limb, and he's already starting to get funky. And this is right when Brainiac shows up. The Atom helped Black Adam get out of the Phantom Zone for help with Brainiac, and that's where we're at. Black Adam just shows up as a cavalry, and it's time. That's the end of 21, and excuse me, 22. Yeah. So yes.
Rick, why don't you summarize this? You seem to.
All right. Well, I'm gonna just look. I was looking. So okay. So 23. This one of the that they had a four issues that intersected together. So. Black Adam shows up to help Dr. Palmer, a.k.a. Adam, and he has a sword. It's the sword of Adam, as a matter of fact. And so you got Hawkman, you got Frankenstein, and yeah. So anyway, Black Adam's doing some Brainiac smacking, and they're going back and forth. And he's like, oh, you're just like little fleas. We don't need you. And so anyway, they're fighting Angie, and eventually they do some damage to Brainiac, and they get Angie. They get away, and they get Angie, and they make her come out of it, it looks like. Let's see. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
So I'm not it's not as fresh in my memory as it is.
They de-Brainiac her.
Yes. Somehow. So they
disconnect her from the Brainiac Matrix.
Yes.
You know, and or they say they're yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they're in space. She gets out of it, and Black Adam, he's trying to defend that ship that's got the rest of them from the I really don't remember what happens to him, but we're going to find out from the Brainiac drones, and they're trying to get through. They're in back into that big satellite thing, and which I think used to be the where Stormwatch was. I'm zipping through shit here. Alright, 24. Where was I at? 25. What do we got? Okay, more fighting. Wonderful cover. You got several versions of Brainiac fighting Superman all the way back to pre-Crisis. It's quite nice. So they're in. They're in this thing, and the Brainiac robots show up, and deep space, the wreckage of the carrier Stormwatch is forming a ship. And by the way, Frankenstein loads the robots. Anyway, everybody's got a sword, and they just go. They start kicking butt, and they're trying to stop the Brainiac from there. Engineer connects to the carrier and knocks some crap down, knocks them down
real quick,
that way.
Real quick, I think it's interesting that. The main characters in this fight are mostly mystical characters while in fighting against clearly a mechanical.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Sorry.
No. Yeah, the only one who'd be kind of science-based is Ray Palmer, really.
Yep.
And he's had his roots in, or he's got some...
He went medieval for a while.
Exactly. He's got some cred there, so...
Yeah.
Oh, one thing we did miss in the what the hell?
Sorry.
One thing we did miss in the Firestorm Roddy thing is Batman told them that it wasn't their fault.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It wasn't their fault that Green Arrow died. In fact, he's actually still alive, and you know, quit being babies and get back to work.
That's true. That's kind of an important point because that's what pushes Jason over the edge too.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of flipping through.
Go back here and then.
Do, 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 do. Okay, nothing in there. Issue number 28.
They don't show up again. After Brainiac, they have the big fight, and Angie the Engineer initiates some sort of teleportation thing, which moves them. Out of wherever they are, and in her words, they could be transported anywhere in the multiverse.
Oh, okay, I missed that. All right, okay, so we're going.
So they vanish, and that's it.
Back to 22. Let's see what storyline is up next.
Oh, let me do Batman Beyond, and
there you go.
We got McGee or Terry McGinnis, who came back from the future to prevent the future and. Has totally foobarred that attempt, and he's currently hanging out with the coolest version of Plastique ever. Not that I wasn't a fan of the old Plastique from Firestorm, but I like this version. So he's explaining to her how the future Everyone's basically dead, and she's like, that sucks, and they have an argument about it, and they're just hanging out. He's basically filling her in, and she's having a hard time accepting it. And I remember this Plastique was the same Plastique who was hanging out with Coyle and the Key, trying to break into Triff Attack, and that's where he was carrying the brother-eyed version of Plastique around with him, so... Mm-hmm. Definitely, he knows what her future holds, and she's not taking it very well, so he splits a can of cold chili with her, and he reveals about how he's got his ALFRED, or Alfred, AI hanging out with him, and this brings us to issue 20. Hello, come on, computer. Come on, computer. Brings us to 23. Let's see if there was any Batman Beyond in this. Imagine
knowing your...
Wow.
I know.
Okay, so you can go to 26 is where that picks back up.
Oh, really? That far in the future? Okay.
Yep.
All right, so I jumped to 26. And with awesome cover, by the way. I love that cover.
Yeah, that's a good cover.
At some point, I would like to just talk about the kick-ass covers they have in this. Okay, so jumping ahead, we go through some 52 stuff. Hold on. Really, 26?
Yeah. Go to page 9.
9 and 20. Oh, I'm in 25. That'll do it. You know, numbers. Numbers, that always is a...
Yeah. I understand.
Whose idea was that to bring numbers into this whole thing?
Yeah, so this is the we're at to the point in the Terry storyline where the new Firestorm hasn't been merged yet. So,
okay, I'm getting there. Hey, oh, so he starts telling her a little bit about how he knows who everybody is. He talks about Red Robin a little bit with her, and they're bonding over their hatred of how the future is going to turn out, and they're hanging out on a roof together, and they're holding hands. They're still bonding over how it's a lot of talky talk between them, isn't it?
Yes.
Not a lot of action, a lot of talky talk.
Okay, next issue, when that ends, 27 has some with them.
Yep, getting there. Yep. I'll be on the beginning of the issue. Boy. Oh, that cool Lois Lane cover, by the way.
Yes, it was good.
And the covers in the series are... hopefully they collect all 48 of them somewhere. That would be neat.
That would be good. Yeah, they did it with... They've done it with 52, that series, before. They just the covers. I've seen those books. Of course, they want too much money for them, but it looks like 28 has some of that too in it.
All right, so then catching up with Mick Jagger, Batman Beyond, and Plastique, they're back at the Wounded Duck, which seems to be the cheers of the 5 year later New 52. They're splitting a drink. And he's reminding her how bleak the future is going to be, which seems to be the running theme of their conversations. And her saying, yeah, well, I can beat it. And the future is not written in stone. And they are going to sneak into... Oh, whose apartment are they sneaking into?
Probably Tim's.
It's Terry, Mr. Terrific's apartment.
Yeah.
And McG gets ambushed by Bruce Wayne, who finally makes a full-blown Batman appearance here.
No, that's in Drake's apartment.
Oh, is it Tim? Really?
Yeah, because the issue I'm looking at that they're, you know.
Right, and then they get blowed up by something. We get a big kaboom, take a drink.
Yeah, and that goes to the next issue before you see it again.
28. And hold on, got to start the issue over again. I was perusing this earlier, so I was kind of bouncing around. I didn't realize how we were going to go through these.
That's fine.
Apologies. We've got the Sergeant Rock story. Sorry.
Yeah.
Very random. Very random how he comes in. So they get blowed up, and turns out Plastique is the one who tried to blow them up. And you're right. It was totally the apartment above the wounded duck. And she's like, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And they try to escape from Bruce Wayne, which, you know, you don't want to escape from Bruce Wayne. It just doesn't happen.
No, not usually.
And they have a little fight, and McGee shows him some tricks, some trickologies, and he swoops down and picks up his girly girl with his jet. Did he have jets in his boots when he back in the cartoon? I don't remember.
Yep. Okay. That was usually his main mode of transportation.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Showing ages. You guys should break it out for the girls. And then we get the cool Firestorm cover issue. Female Firestorm. And scooching ahead here. Do we have any McGee action in here? I like how she calls him McGee, by the way.
That's kind of funny, isn't it?
But McGinnis, he's McGee. I think this was all Firestorm all the time, wasn't it? Number 29.
Pretty much, yeah.
And there's a little bit of Tim Drake in there. Mm-hmm. And then we jump to 29 with, again, another kick-ass cover. Jesus Louise.
Yeah, those are great covers, aren't they?
I need to... Is this all Cadmus Island all the time on this one?
No. What, 29?
Yeah.
No, that's when Ronnie gets toasted.
Yeah, number 30 is all Cadmus Island.
30 is pretty Cadmus heavy, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. All right, that's it. That's where we leave McGee and Plastique, as they've escaped from the Batman after trying to find some evidence in Tim Drake's apartment.
And so,
wow.
Right. Go back to 22. What are we picking up? We're picking up
Well, real quick, we had Lois Lane, who we can do a real quick synopsis of her. Is that?
Yeah, that's pretty.
You're still trying to figure out what those items are, and Tim Drake at some point tells her, you know, what the arrowhead symbolizes or represents, which is mm-hmm. the one that was shot in. It saved his life
mm-hmm.
From Red Robin of Earth 2. Not Red Robin, excuse me. Red Arrow of Earth 2 saved his life. Excuse me. She finally decides to go ahead and parachute down to where she thought was an empty piece of ocean from the coordinates that were on that piece of paper. And she lands, thank goodness, on the Cadmus Island and is immediately attacked by an OMAC. And then he teams up with the rest of the survivors from some of the other survivors from Earth 2, as well as Oliver Queen of Earth 1 and his sidekick. And I think that's her whole story, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. She meets the Earth 2 Lois Lane Red Tornado and
right.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a moment or two.
Yeah, that's a good moment actually.
Yeah, it is.
Now, did you mention I can remember. Did you mention that when McGinnis and Plastique were rifling through Tim Drake's mm-hmm. apartment. He mentioned that the reason he was pulling Tim Drake in is because
he wasn't around in that future. Yes, exactly.
Like 5 years later, there's no mention of Tim Drake,
mm-hmm.
which is why he felt safe pulling him in. Whereas if he pulls in other heroes who are around 5 years later, he risks jeopardizing the time stream. So it's like a, ooh, what's happening with Tim? Are they going to get rid of him? He's this ex-Robin. We don't need him.
I think I know, considering what happened in the last issue.
Yeah. Yes, I think so too. But at this point in the story, you're wondering, ooh, what are they going to do to Tim Drake? How are they going to shuffle him off the
– I'm kind of mad at him anyway for giving up. So.
Well, I get where DC's coming from though, because they've got 8 million Robins in the current DCU. So it makes sense to –
I think it's hilarious.
A little bit.
I think it's hilarious if you know. Of course, they've changed it when the new 52 was made, but Drake wanted to be Robin. I mean, he figured out who Batman was and sought it out. He did, and then Bruce did everything he could to turn him away from it. And now he's all pissed at Bruce for the meat grinder and all this other stuff and all the other people have broken. And it's like, I get really sick of that. You know,
well, DC.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
They can sometimes create some really amazing replacement characters. So you've got the Tim Drake Robin that people really liked. Yeah, and you've got Kyle Rayner Green Lantern that people really liked. And Wally West came into his own. And you've got these replacement characters. And now that they've kind of restarted everything, there's no place for them. And they don't want to – well, Wally they had no problem getting rid of. They just said goodbye to him. But they didn't really want to let go of Kyle or Tim Drake. Mm-hmm. Right away, because they've got their fans, but at the same time, they haven't really done anything with them, right? So I can see why they want to find a new use for Tim Drake and a new use for Kyle Rayner, and if they can't find a use, push them aside. I get it. I don't like it, but I get what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, like they wanted to get rid of Nightwing or –
Dan well, one person did.
Nightwing. Well, for sure. But, I mean, they kept him around, but he didn't really
– No.
They didn't do a ton with him. But by keeping him around, we were able to get the Grayson series, which is pretty cool. So, eventually, right, like
– Well, and they're talking –
If they keep those
– TNT is working on a Titans show, and Nightwing's supposed to be the lead character too, so –
Yeah. So, I mean, eventually they'll eventually come upon a way to use the character, but – But I get why they want to kind of empty the decks a little bit for some of these characters.
It was the whole thing. I remember right after Crisis, they did a lot of deck cleaning. They literally killed off characters of the same name. Like there was that episode, that issue of Eclipso where they killed off a couple of
characters. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah,
it was. And that was simply because they said, "Well, we can't have two characters with the same name." Boom, dead. Remember they did with with Green Lantern of Earth 2. All of a sudden he's Sentinel instead of
that's true.
Green Lantern. You know, they killed off Yolanda Montez because they only needed one Wildcat, etc.
That's true. They did.
So sorry.
So, no, you're perfect. You're absolutely right, dude.
There's a fine line, and I absolutely see why they're trying to do this, but they don't. Whatever. Sorry.
We'll see where they go. All right. So, what other stories have we got going on here? We've got
all the Cadmus characters, 52 and Grifter. Mm-hmm. His story changed dramatically over the course of the series. The Grifter character.
Yeah.
I remember when he first started, he was kind of the badass going out and killing all the aliens, and they kind of shifted him to being this. You know, he's being dragged along like a puppy on a leash. By 50 suit.
Yeah, he kind of lost his teeth.
That's my least favorite storyline. But really? Well, because of that very thing. I mean, it's like those guys are like – they're almost – man, we've been talking 42 minutes already. That's amazing. But, yeah, he's they're like hostages to this psycho chick, you know? But anyway, so where are we going to pick that up at? 22 – well, there's sort of some there.
Cat story kind of confuses me. Okay, so we've got, if I can boil it down, we've got Brother Eye.
Well, you got the point Cadmus. Where, yeah. Okay, hey,
go ahead, Murray.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's kind of taken over Cadmus, and he's got all the Earth 2 prisoners under his control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he can't leave Cadmus Island. I think they explain that in this run of issues. I'm not sure why. For some MacGuffin reason, he's not able to leave Cadmus Island. He's trapped there.
MacGuffin sound like a swear word.
Well, you know, like there's some science reason why he can't leave the island, but really it's just because whatever. Like they don't want him to leave the island yet, but he's right. Okay, so he's stuck there. You've got Deathstroke and Lana and 50 Sue and Grifter trying to fight against the Brother Eye and the Omax.
Well, don't forget Faraday.
And you've got Faraday there for a little while, and we learn that Faraday can teleport, apparently. And so he does. In the middle of the battle, he just decides, yeah, I've had enough. I'm going home or going somewhere. So he just leaves them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. He's like, he's an unapologetic out for himself.
Mm. Oh, totally. Totally, totally. He's like, yeah, goodbye. I've done what I can do here, and this is a losing battle, and I'm going to go make my money elsewhere. And off he goes. Now, throughout the course of those issues, we learn that, and this is where I get a little confused. So, mm-hmm. 50 Sue is fighting Brother Eye. She's opposed to Brother Eye. And then we learn that Deathstroke has aligned himself with Brother Eye.
Deathstroke goes with the highest bidder. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So Brother Eye, and we learn that Brother Eye will have access to everyone in the world's bank account, so Deathstroke joins up with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. All the money is pretty – it's a pretty big prize, I would say.
Well, all the money is better than most of the money, I guess, for sure.
True.
For sure.
Very true,
now, at
sir.
The same time, we've got the Green Arrow crew making their way to Cadmus Island.
This is correct.
From Arrow Island.
Yeah, from Arrow Island. So they're on their way to fight and rescue the Earth 2 heroes. They arrive. They fight Omax, and Omax turn into one big giant Omax, which is kind of cool. They all kind of merge into one Ultron. Big...
They totally Ultron them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So they're... Like, lots of battles. Lots of battles going on.
So where are you confused? I mean, it seems pretty...
I don't know. You know, I guess it's straightforward. I wasn't sure what Deathstroke was doing, and in the end, he's just out for himself.
He's just trying to survive and make as much money as possible.
I guess
but at a certain point, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of these issues. He goes, you know what? It ain't worth it. You guys are. It's easier to be with you humans than it is to try and negotiate with a Brother Eye.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and yeah, then I think it's like. The very best Deathstroke part, which and I don't even remember who got to do the Geoff Johns moment in that issue, but it was it Barda? No, it was Fury.
Yeah, they showed up from Earth. Well, they got I don't know they got the crap beat out of them.
Well,
I just saw that in there.
He totally loses his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was awesome. But I don't think that was in...
not there yet.
Yeah, that was in the after 30, issue 30.
It can't be after 30 because I've only read up to 30.
Oh, maybe it was in 30 then.
Maybe it's in 30.
Yeah, anyway, I was extremely happy with that.
Someone pops his head there.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. Fury.
That's when they hit the issue 30 is when the Earth 2 people in the Arrow's army hit and they fight a bunch of Omax.
They fight
the Omax. Yeah, that's right.
And somehow Arrow turns off.
Yeah, it's Fury oh, literally.
It is in number 30. It is in number 30.
Yeah.
She rips his head off literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So does Arrow, he shoots an arrow, he turns something off, I think.
I'm looking.
And then...
Oh, there... She downloads herself, the Brother Eye downloads herself into a robot of Power Girl.
Is it a robot of Power Girl, or has he just kind of taken over Power Girl?
Yeah, it's a robot, they find out, because her face is, like, ripped off. And, he used a boxing glove arrow to hit a button that turns off some of the Omax. And,
And there's a big explosion. So Barda is left on the island to... This I should remember because I just read it.
Well, they blew up the island. That's the last one of the last.
Yeah,
ones.
She's left on the island, right? Well, we're assuming she's been left on the island to blow up with.
They thought they killed Brother I, but it got downloaded itself into a phone, Lois's phone.
I'm very curious how they redeem her, because they don't redeem her in this series, but in the world's end, she is not a likable character.
No, she joins Darkseid.
Yep.
Does she? Okay, I wasn't sure what was going on there.
Well, and they didn't even touch on it for quite a while, and then they all of a sudden say, oh yeah. She said, well, I need to redeem myself, blah, blah. And
yeah, because what's her name? Green Arrow's sidekick goes and recruits her at the homeless shelter,
mm-hmm.
where she's feeding people, and she seemed like the Barda that we all know and love. But if you're reading World's End, it turns out she is not a likable character, but at no point in this series, up until this issue, did they even make reference to the fact that she had gone dark.
Right.
Yeah. I think Scott had even just dismissed it. It's like, well, you weren't yourself. So it's like maybe she was being controlled or something.
She was killing people.
I know. I remembered. I was like, wait a second. Which I think that's an instance of the two teams not talking to each other. But hey, you know.
It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me a bit. But they at the end of the latest issue of World's End, again, spoilers, she actually – that's where she goes off with – to go into hiding on Earth 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they pick up her story in this series. But it the transition is really tenuous at best.
Yeah. Right.
Anyhow, sorry, but just to deal with another one of the – Earth, because, again, we've got Red Arrow here. Who, God, there's.
mm-hmm. Oh.
Honest to God, if you're not reading World's End, there are some points in there that don't, or if you are reading World's End, then do not transition well into the series.
Yeah, I'm very, very behind on that.
Don't pick that up until the last couple issues if you want quality content.
Well, I've already bought them, I just haven't read them. Okay, one thing that we've skipped out on. Is the whole Superman thing.
Yeah, there's not a ton of it, though.
No, I'm trying to find where it starts up again. Because I'm in, I don't know what issue this is, and I see some stuff in it.
Just know that Constantine Jews have been coming back, going from
Ooh,
Kingdom.
Ooh, easy. Well, there's an actual Brainiac
they have
droid
a big
that, that comes and looks for him, and they have a big fist fight. I think 25 is where that starts.
Yeah, but Constantine totally guilts him into beard or no beard, go out and save the world.
Yeah, well, from what I can understand, I think Batman tricked him into killing somebody. Because it was in one of these earlier ones I just read today, that somebody said Batman, he says, don't say that name. So I think that's why he went and sulked, because I think he's done that in the past in other universes, like that when he went exiled himself in space back in after the crisis. I don't know what was caused that, but he did something to compromise his principles, and that's why he's been in hiding and just helping people and not whatever. So, yeah, he got forced into fighting again. And he ends up showing up later. So that's really all that was. Nothing too big.
And there's not much that happens with Mr. Terrific. He's just kind of a background character at this point.
Yeah, he is. And he's all, thinks he's God and stuff.
So there we go. We're up to issue 30.
Yeah, wow. We actually did it, man. That's amazing. We
can totally be done.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that 50 Sue she's playing all sides of the
She hasn't still that part hasn't happened yet. That happens in 31, I think.
Yeah, we get a reveal in the latest issue, a little insight into her, but that's way up in number 46. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Lois Lane comes to her. She does a bunch of stuff. Yeah, 31 is where Earth 2 people have been they've been released and stuff. Yeah, something like that. There we go.
There,
That's a lot more Superman stuff going on in there.
It feels like there's a lot of wheel spinning in these issues, but as we get into the more current issues, we find out a lot of this was very relevant, these conversations, because there is a lot of talky-talk, as Marie would say, issues.
Seems like a lot of it, the more I read it, the more stuff I find that I missed. You know, I went back because at one point I went back and started over from scratch, and it's like, oh, okay.
It reads well when you read like a chunk of them, I find.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get to trade, I think. That and Batman Eternal. Maybe. Maybe not today, but
I want you will. You know what? Batman Eternal is going to irritate the hell out of you until you get to the back end of it. And the same with World's End. World's End was just wreck, and then it just all of a sudden the last couple issues when they've become more focused with the story.
Right.
It's really good, but when they were like doing every, you know, little pieces here and there, and the same with this series. Even though some of the early issues were good, it really got great like it has been the past couple issues. I think it's right about actually where we are covering today, where it really, for me, started to get, oh my God, okay, I can't believe I have to wait a whole week till the next issue.
Exactly, yeah.
Spoiled. I can't wait a month between issues now.
Yeah, that is pretty bad, isn't it? They've done a good job.
Now we're going to have to wait 2 months between issues coming up here, or 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Convergence is kicking in here real soon. Real soon.
Nice. Hey, anybody listening to this, if we miss any characters you think we should have covered in these issues,
yes.
Go ahead and tell us. Post on Facebook and say, hey, you forgot to talk about so-and-so, and give us your synopsis. I would appreciate it.
Yes, do that. That is great. Great idea.
Six of you who comment on these episodes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I think we covered it pretty thoroughly, I think.
Yeah, you did.
Incredibly randomly, at the very least.
We bounced around, but we got there.
We
bounced right to the end.
There was some bouncing, but that's okay. It's a lot of stuff to cover. Let's see. Hold on.
We didn't even talk about Mr. Terrific. Sorry.
Well, there really wasn't anything to talk about.
No, good point.
He has a meeting with Bruce Wayne, and that's about it.
Yeah, we find out he hired those two guys as, you know, stuff and things, and yeah,
father and other father.
Exactly. Right.
Like, yeah.
Very weird stuff. So.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
But yeah, that's it. So let's see.
Bueno, bueno. Okay.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. So you can send us an email. To podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can send us, get on the Facebook page. Yeah, that's it. I got 40 things going around in my head. Sorry. Basically you can come join us there. And, we've got I had like 5 or 6 people, like we talked at the beginning of the podcast. And they joined the crew. I'm not sure why. I'm glad to have you. Welcome to the show. And also, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And like Caleb said, if we missed something, we think it was big, let us know, and we'll jump on it, both feet. Uptown funk you up. So anyway, that's it for this week. I got that stamp. I cannot get that song out of my head.
Throwing the Bruno Mars out there. Good man.
Yeah, okay. I like that song. It's a good song. Anyway, I'm still waiting for the Uptown to funk me up. So anyway, that's about it for this week. And we are out.